I've been doing a series on the heart of a servant, because everybody wants to be served. Everybody's always worried about what's in it for me. It's part of our human nature, right? But the problem is it's not much different in the church than it is out there. And it should be different. You know what? This isn't just our club church. Amen? This isn't just a social event. We're part of the family of God. We're part of the body of Christ. And so here's the thing. There are times, being human, that we struggle with one another, right? Remember that old saying, to dwell above with saints we love? Oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, man, that's another story, right? It's tough, yeah? Because your stuff really gets on my nerves. And thank you. And mine gets on yours. So that's the problem. Remember, Galen, we used to talk about the old porcupine syndrome? You know, we're all like a bunch of porcupines. We don't have a lot of those around here. And I'm glad we don't. I'm glad we don't, you know? I mean, the armadillos are enough, right? You know, possum on the half shell, Wayne. And porcupines, like a bunch of porcupines on a cold winter night. And as they get cold, they get chilled, and so they kind of move together and huddle up to try to keep each other warm because they need each other, right? And as they get too close, they begin to poke and stick each other with their quills, and then they move back apart. Like, ow, it gets a little ouchy, you know, and we're irritating each other, so we move back apart, only to get cold again and move back together, and then ouch, 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 and then move apart again. And the moral of the story is that while we need each other, we also needle each other. Huh? Yeah, is that good? Yeah. But that's kind of like the way we do. And, you know, well, I'll just get hurt if I get too close. Or you'll hurt somebody. You know, that's part of that human nature. And the thing is we got to have the love of God to help us overcome that. That's why some of the qualities of a servant is, a servant is a giver. We're not keeping score about who's given the most, who's receiving. You know what I'm saying? You're a giver. You give without expecting in return. A servant is a forgiver, because I'm going to need to be forgiven as well as forgive, right? You know, and you're going to have that, because we are going to fail each other. We are going to offend each other, all of those things. And then a servant must be a forgetter. And that's the part of forgiveness that, even though you know it happened, it allows it to be disregarded to the point that it doesn't have an impact in your life anymore or the way that you think. You may know and be able in your brain cells to recall, and it's recorded in there how someone may have hurt you, but it has no power anymore. You can release them to that, to the point that you don't get a knot in your stomach when you encounter that person. God can help us. Here's what we found, that people who really get into this and let God work in their lives and help us to become Christ-like, because Jesus actually not only told us to love our neighbors as much as ourselves. Who's there? Who does that? By the way, hi, Amanda. I forgot to mention, Amanda's here, everybody. Amanda is here. Amen. Give her a hand. Come on, you can clap. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. We're in, and so your completion date, graduation date's coming up, hopefully in November. I think you said, if I remember right. We're so thankful and proud. We want to pray that, Lord, will keep working in your life. And we're just seeing you grow as a servant of God too. Amen. Where was I? Was talking about. Somebody help me out here. You want? Okay. Thank you. Boom. Put me right back there. See, you never know when you're going to have to help. You have to help. I needed that. Who's there that loves their neighbor as much as himself? Then the next thing Jesus said is that you're to love one another, talking about his followers, as he says, as much as I love you. And you know what Jesus did? He died for me. He knew every, because he's not only fully human, he's fully God. He knows every dirty, rotten, no good thing about me. Not just the things I've done, but the things I've thought. And he still thought I was worth dying for? Wow! That's grace, man. That I'm to love you that much, I've got some growing to do, okay? And he also said that we're to love our enemies. Now, that is not humanly possible, I'm sorry. And if it doesn't come naturally, it has to come supernaturally. This is part of what the Spirit of God in us will do. Is one of the fruits of the Spirit, the very first one, is love. And it's real love. Okay, so we're going to need this. We've been talking about having a heart of a servant, and as we do that, we find that we can come together, and yeah, we're going to irritate each other. We're going to needle each other just like those porcupines, but we're finding out, though, that the people who have the deepest relationship and are used in a mighty way as part of a family of God, a body of Christ, that are used by God to accomplish amazing things, are those who have been through the toughest things together and have grown through it. Right? You know, if you just lay around all the time and never use your muscles, they begin to just disappear, don't they? And the thing about it is if life is just perfect and easy and everything's just tippy-toeing through the tulips, and I don't know who started that, Tiny Tim. I should have brought my ukulele. It would have added something if I could have just sung that, right? How many young people are like, what are you talking about, Tiny Tim? Huh? Google it, okay? After church, yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Tiny Tim. I've got a mental image now that I need to get out of here, you know. But anyway, this life's just going to be easy and all that. If it is, then you're never going to grow deep. And listen to me, families and couples that have had some of the deepest rifts and problems as they trust God and work through them and practice the giving, forgiving, and forgetting and let the grace of God and the power of God flow through their lives, they're going to have the deeper, stronger relationships. And there's some people seem like, well, we never have any problems. Well, your relationship may be a little shallow right now. I remember, you know, when Clarissa and I were like engaged and everything. Well, we never have any arguments, never have any fights. But I sure ain't standing up here today saying, well, we've never had an argument or got crossways. Right. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Hopefully I haven't done anything too bad yet. I've tried to be good on Sunday. But, you know, we found out even, I'm going to read the text here in a minute, Wayne, but we found out even when the kids were little that we really had to develop a strategy, you know, because they're never going to mess their diaper with that really bad stuff that doesn't stay in there, right, until you've got them dressed for church, right? They're not going to spit up until you've got them totally ready or you're strapped in the car seats, right? Things like that. But we found out we had to develop a strategy to start getting ready on Saturday for Sunday if we wanted to have a better Sunday, okay? And, you know, and I found out, you know, the Lord threw her, and the Lord did have to reveal it because at first I kind of had the attitude that, well, you know, if she's like, you know, a loving wife, one of the ways she can minister to our whole church and to me is just take care of everything on Sunday mornings. I don't have to worry about nothing. I can worry about preaching and dealing with you guys. And I found out it didn't quite work that way, did it? And so you can remember I used to bring the boys, didn't I? And then you would have the girls, and we would, remember that old building we'd go over there, and Caleb's just a little bitty guy and taught you how to make the coffee. And remember you used to do that? It was like your job. But we found out we had to develop a system. We had to start doing baths on Saturday night, and we work out. But we grew deeper because of that. And so, but anyway, all these things in life, as you go through raising kids, and as, you know, and we thought, boy, we get the kids out of the house, life's going to be easier. Rex is giving me that look. Yeah, you're right. Life ain't ever going to be easier. Because there's always new challenges with every level of aging, you know, the empty nest, and then what is it to say that the chicks fly out of the nest and then the old buzzards come back, and you know, but no, but the thing about it is I'm sorry, but I heard someone else say that, honestly. I didn't make that up, but there's just a lot about life, and as you begin to get to the point that you're learning that physically you're failing as old age, we've got all these stages of life. Every one of them has their challenges, right? Yeah, you young people have their challenges. Older people have their challenges. The thing about it is when we just live the way the Lord said and let Him, you know, He's the creator, the designer. He knows how life works, and we do it His way. It just works. Amen. It works a lot better. And going through the fire, going through the hard times, going through the struggles is what causes us to love each other deeper and better and to be able to glorify God better. We're strengthened. So isn't it great that the very things that the enemy tries to use to totally rip us all apart, if we trust God and give it to the Lord, that the Lord can use even those very things, though they may be bad things. He doesn't turn the bad things into good things, but He can take the bad things and bring His good out of it, and He can make us deeper, stronger, and closer to Him, and experiencing more of His power in our daily walk. And in weeks ahead, that's what I want to talk about. Brother Bob Thomas is going to be here next week. It's going to be amazing. If you haven't experienced that, you are in for something, let me just tell you. And it's going to be great. We've got a marriage conference in Springfield this weekend. So many of you are going to that. But in the weeks ahead, we don't really talk about the ability to serve because of the power of God, providing His wisdom and strength. And the gifts that I need, the abilities that I need to serve come from Him too. So all of this adds up to something, is that my life can not only be salvaged, but saved by God's grace. I can know that my name's written in heaven, but this whole thing of being a Christian isn't like when I was a kid, I just wanted a ticket to heaven, right? I'm not sure I really wanted Jesus to be my Lord. It doesn't work that way. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all in your life. You know, we used to say that a lot and probably still need to keep saying it. But the thing about it is my existence, my day-to-day life can be filled with meaning and purpose. Because I'm telling you, life is going by fast. And isn't it good to know that every moment, every second, even the trials, even the bad stuff, that God can be at work? In fact, we find out that through the valleys and the bad times are sometimes where God shows his power the most. And there's some of you that the biggest witness that you're going to be to people in darkness is as you go through tough times and trials, and there's just something different. Where do you find that strength? Where do you find they're going to know you struggle just like everybody else, right? But they're going to see something that's different. There's just something that's attractive. And see, that's the way Jesus was. Jesus wasn't going around pointing his finger and just condemning everybody. He went around saying, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned, right? But that the world through him might be saved, right? Now, we need to speak the truth, but we've got to speak it in love. The thing about it is, I really feel like people were attracted. You never find Jesus trying to do things to attract a crowd, but they always wanted to be there and hear what he said. A lot of times it was the religious people who were self-righteous type people. They're the ones that couldn't stand him. And so there ought to be something in our life that even though the world's offended, we're going to talk about that, but yet it ought to be attractive to people who are realizing that they're in need and they're in darkness and they're empty, okay? Now, talk about the impact of a servant today. The impact. What kind of impact? If all this is happening in our life, there ought to be an impact that we're having on people around us. If we're really getting the heart of a servant, it's not just for us and my little thing that it impacts other people. And here's what Jesus said. He actually gave us in Matthew chapter 5, he gave us some really good attributes of a real servant. We call them the Beatitudes. And all of these are like what we're growing into. Poor in spirit, it means humble. Those who mourn, they'll be comforted. The meek, they'll inherit the earth. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. Merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. Even those who are persecuted because they're doing what's right. He gives all this encouragement. That's kind of characteristics that we should have. Then, listen to what he says. I'm going to read it. Ready? Finally. Let's read it. He says, you are. He's talking to his followers, okay? His disciples, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You've heard that saying, hadn't you? Salt of the earth, light of the world. This is where it came from. So what we're going to talk about, the impact of a servant is shake and shine. I didn't say shake and bake. I said, let's shake and shine, right? See, when we get ready to leave here, that's really what we ought to say. We ought to get together in a huddle and say, all right, not shake and bake. Let's shake and shine. Because salt and light. Get it? Okay. Let's let Jesus talk for a minute here. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, this right here is the impact of a servant. But we live in this world. We're the salt of the earth and light of the world. The place where we live and the world, the cosmos, this whole area where we live, you know, not outer space, but I could include that someday, you know. Didn't they say they're going to start a colony on the moon? Oh, Mars. Why would you even want to do that? I mean, there's parts of Arkansas that nobody wants to live in. But anyway, so we want to find out the truth about our world, because you're going to be this to the world. There's a problem with our world today. And the truth about the world we live in is that this is a sin-cursed place. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve had sinned. Not only did they sin, but the human nature became corrupted by sin, and they passed it all the way down to me. Yeah? And I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But this whole world, if you read that, the earth was cursed. The whole cosmos was cursed by sin. It's not as God intended. And we say, how could a loving, perfect God allow things to be like they are and these things happen? I want to tell you, standing on the Word of God, that that is not how God intended it. That wasn't His plan. But His plan included giving us a free will where that we weren't like the animals and just operate on instinct. We weren't like robots or puppets, that we could make a decision. And you know, love is a decision. No one can force you to love. And as God has loved us, He wanted that love return. That has to include the possibility of not loving, and it has to include the possibility of rejection. And that's what happened. And when Adam and Eve did that, they sinned, and they were less than perfect, which God is perfect. And it contaminated them. And something had to be done about that, because God, who is perfect, cannot let imperfection live in His presence. We would contaminate the whole place. Something had to be done about our sin. God explained early on, the wages of sin is what? Death. And that means separation from God. Adam and Eve were separated spiritually from God that day. And ultimately, they did die a physical death. But their flesh was cursed. You see that? The earth was cursed. Things, you know, thorns. And one of the first jobs I had when I was a kid, remember the old three-wheelers? Still got one in the shed somewhere. Anyway, I wouldn't try to ride it right now, but anyway, tires are flat. But three-wheelers, those are dangerous. But, you know, I would be able to get on the three-wheeler with some spray and go spray the thistles. Because, you know, in the areas that we're grazing on a dairy, you know, that's just, they're bad. And they just keep it. Oh, I had neighbors say, you know, one neighbor from the city moved in and said, oh, I love these plants out there with those beautiful purple blooms. You know, you just want to choke them. Yeah, thanks to that neighbor, we're always going to have purple blooms coming up on these things, you know. Because even though you spray and get rid of these, it kind of blows across from the neighbors who don't, right? Any of you neighbors like that around here? You don't, you know, your weeds go. Anyway, but it just, we live in that world, you know. We can kill every one of them in our pasture, but then because the neighbor does it, the seeds are going to blow over and we're going to have more next year. That's the world we live in. It's just contaminated. Part of the curse was thorns, and part of the curse is the imperfection that we live in. And then as people, time went on, our hearts became darker and darker. God said, one of the first creative acts was, let there be what? Light. And the Bible says God is light. If you read that story, that was before He created like the sun and the moon and the stars. God Himself is light. And the world is in darkness. And so the truth about the world is we know, and I'm just going to let John sum it up here. It's under the control of the evil one, because there is an enemy. And we call him the devil, Satan. But he says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's the world we live in. This world is not. Isaac Watts had a hymn hundreds of years ago entitled, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? In that song, he asked the question, is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? No, it's not. No, it's not. It is not your friend to help you on to God. It hits us from every angle. And we see it, you know, wow. There's things now that 5 years ago we couldn't have imagined. I mean, things not only have changed over the last, you know, few hundred years, but it's like in high speed now. And I don't know what the next 5 years are going to be like. And you see, people are totally lost and in darkness, and everything's in upheaval, governments and economies, and nothing's stable. I want to find a solid rock that I can build my life and my eternity on. How about you? And that solid rock is Christ Himself. And I want to make an impact on those around me. See, that's the thing. If you're really a believer and you care about people around you, you want to be an impact. You want to share the light of the life of God with them. If you believe this is real and you believe there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned, how could you not? If you care about people, how can you not pray for them? How can you not try to encourage them? How can you not try to help them? Right? Okay. So not only that, but all the things that's in this world, because of this contamination by sin, is not of God. All right? The world is not going to lead you to God. Not only does he say they're under the sway of the wicked one, but all that is in it is not from God. Okay? Ready for a verse on that? Here it comes. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you're in love with this world. By the way, it doesn't do you much good to be in love with this world because people ask all the time, what's this world coming to? If we can tell them that an end, at some point, it's going to come to an end. Because let's read the rest of this. He says, don't love the world, the things in the world. He's going to talk about the things in the world. He says, for all that is in the world. And he's got like three categories here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So you think about these categories, the lust of the flesh, the things that we desire, the greed and the pride and the lust of the eyes, the things that we want, and all of that lust and everything that we're trying to live in a selfish way, and the pride of life, that's what's in the world. Everything and all types of sin and problems stem from these three categories. And I'm not preaching a sermon on that today, but that's a whole like series right there that we could take a lot of time on. But he says, here's another reason not to be in love with the world, because the world is passing away. And all that desire and lust in it, yeah, it's passing away too. It's all going to come to nothing. But he says, but he or she who does the will of God abides forever. I want to be in that abides forever part, don't you? Instead of that coming to nothing, passing away part. So what can we expect from the world we live in? Well, there's going to be a tough time. There's going to be hard times. In fact, Jesus said this. This is one of those verses in John 15:17. He said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Okay, I need to mention one more thing on this love one another deal. Not optional. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, or the more generic term that's used in our world today that can apply to about anything, instead of the real thing of what it was supposed to be, a Christian. Do you know the word Christian is first found in the Bible? In the book of Acts, where the disciples at Antioch, they were called Christians because they were trying to be like Christ. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Just a question, just a thought. I'm asking myself. I just wanted to ask it in front of you. I'm asking myself. Would there be enough evidence to convict me of being Christ-like? Okay. Did that not go over? Because the way you're looking at me is like, that's something to think about. Are you deep in thought and meditation? Yeah. Okay. No answer whatsoever. Okay. We'll move on. This thing about loving one another, not conditional. So if there's someone that is hateful and there's someone that's hard to love, you can't just say, okay, God, well, you see how they are. And now he says you don't get off the hook. How can I love them? Well, God loves them. And so, Lord, will you share some of that love with me and give me your love? See, that's how we do it. So he says, I command you that you love one another. If the world hates you, and that word hate is a general term, it's translated into English, and it doesn't just mean hate like we mean. It means somebody, the world's just not going to like it. You're going to be in disfavor with the world around you. It's not that they always want you dead. They just don't like you, okay? So it's a pretty broad term there. It says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And so this is one thing that's going to happen. It shouldn't surprise us if we get a tough time in this world, because the world gave Jesus a tough time. Think about it. Think about it. Because the only perfect human being to ever live, and they killed him. And none of us are even close to perfect. And so it's no wonder, the more like Jesus we are, the more difficulty and persecution that we might have. The world hates us because, generally, we've already read the verse, the world lies in the lap of the wicked one. But specifically, it's because we belong to Christ. So here's the counter strategy. What's the strategy? Be different. Why be like everybody else? Why be like the world? I always said teenagers are amazing creatures who want to rebel and be different by being like every other teenager. Right? Yeah, be different. You want to be different. You want to be radical. Be like Jesus. Because when you're that way, the world can't help but take notice. They can't help but notice. This is how we get their attention. So we are salt and we are light. We are We are, hold on, let me click that up there. Salt in a decaying world. That's what we're like. Jesus says that. You are the salt of the earth. I like this. You know, before refrigeration, we've all been spoiled, right? But some of you can remember before refrigeration, you had to use salt if you wanted to preserve anything much, as far as meat especially goes, and some other things. You had to use salt as a preservative, and it was vital. I mean, you know, for society to make it, they needed salt to preserve food so they could have it and other things. And not only is it used for preservation, but it also gives that little bite to food, right? It does. It does. You know, I got some soup at Sam's, you know, and warm that stuff up. And the type we got, just that I fixed the other day, you know, I warmed it up in there. And it just wasn't, it needed a little salt, didn't it, baby? It needed a little salt, a little pepper, a little Louisiana hot sauce maybe. I don't know. But it just needed something. But, you know, I put just a little sprinkle of salt. It's like, ooh, there it is. Much better, much better. It's amazing how salt brings out flavor, and it just adds a dynamic. But it also has a preserving. And that's what he says we are. Notice that this is connected to the phrase you. No one else can be the salt of the earth but you, those who are following Jesus. And he says you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say pray that you could be, but if you're saved, he says you are. You are. Not will be, not were, but you are. Did you know you are? I am. Amen. Amen. So we are following our great I am. And he is. I like that. I like that. That is so true. So you are salt of the earth. You don't have to pray and say, Lord, help me to become salt. He says, you are salt. Get out there. I'm not sure the Lord would say it exactly like this, but here's the way I'm going to say it. He says, you are the salt. You don't have to pray to be made salt. The Lord's saying you are already salt. Now get out there and start shaking. Everybody shake. Okay. But see, what we want to do is we want to just stay in the salt shaker. We have these big salt shaker meetings. All the salt shaker comes together and admires each other as a salt shaker. And what he says, you're the salt of the earth. Salt does no good if you don't spread it. Yeah, it must be spread out to be effective. Our world is decaying so fast. It's in desperate need of salt. Remember Rip Van Winkle? Young people, you read about Rip Van Winkle in school. Do they still do that? Huh? No? Well, at least I can say Google it, okay? Oh. We always read the story about Rip Van Winkle. You probably used that story, I bet, Yvonne, did you? Yeah? What's that? A bit too long, okay. Yeah. Rip Van Winkle, let me refresh your memory. Okay. Rip Van Winkle is that dude that fell asleep and he slept for 20 years. And then he woke up. That's all I'm going to tell you about Rip Van Winkle, because you need to go Google it and read the story, okay? All right, Rip Van Winkle. So the next time I see you pull out, well, it's like Rip Van Winkle around here, you'll know what I'm talking about. But could you imagine, once you read the story of Rip Van Winkle, this will go over a lot better. Could you imagine him who slept for 20 years in the story? Could you imagine him being asleep 20 years ago and waking up today in America? Huh? What would he have thought? I mean, in 20 years, if you just like fell asleep and then woke up 20 years later, wow. I mean, just think of how things are. How, wow, our world is sinking so bad and everybody's going around like this, you know? But anyway, I mean, on their phones, right? Get it? Now, when he says we're to be salt of the earth, listen to this, y'all. Impact of a servant. It doesn't mean you go dump a whole dump truckload on one person. Right? There were times in my life in my zeal to try to be a witness for Christ. I was almost like, you know, when you dump a whole shaker of salt on a slug that's crawling across and watch him go shrivel up, you know, like, I'm melting. What a world. Was it that? Isn't that what... Wicked Witch of the whatever said, yeah, what a world. I've seen that happen. I've seen people do that. That's not what we're to do. We're to spread it. That salt doesn't do any good whenever you... And you spread a little bit each day as we live. And see, this is how we do it. You impact servant as you just live and let Christ live in you and live through you as you just go through normal everyday life, okay? But he says if the salt has lost its savor or its saltiness, how are you going to use it? It's not any good for anything to be thrown out. How does salt... Now, salt is... get a little science in here. We have a little literature now. Let's do a little science, okay? You ready? Salt is a very stable compound, right? So how does salt lose its saltiness? Well, in that time, salt would lose its saltiness as far as using it on food if it got contaminated with other stuff, all right? So you as the salt of the earth will become not effective when you get contaminated by stuff of the world, okay? Right? And you'd be like... What does Jesus say? What does he say in this verse? He says, good for nothing. I don't want to be good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled on. I want to be pure so he can use me, right? So I can be have an impact on those around me. Spread a little bit each day by the things I do, by the things I say. I'm making it up as I go, folks. I'm rhyming and I like it, okay? But anyway... Just at home, as well as at work, just be salt. Some of you are very salty, and some of us need to be more salty. And it doesn't mean you're out there banging people on the head of the Bible. It's out there, we're just letting the characteristics of Christ flow through us, okay? That's what we're doing. We are letting, this is what happens. And you know, this is the way it's going to happen, is that it's not by some big crusade or something. It's by us living our everyday lives right where you are. That's how it happens. You know, used to we think, boy, if we could get Billy Graham or someone to come here and boy, I could... No. God used him and God finally called him home, but it's you every day living in your world. That's where you're salt of the earth. So I have to ask myself, am I creating a thirst? Salt makes you thirsty, doesn't it? Am I creating a thirst in others so they get curious about the things of God? Or am I repulsive? The Bible says that the cross is an offense. And I see a lot of times that some people who call themselves Christians are actually the offense. They are offensive. And people are offended. And so they, oh, well, I'm just being persecuted for being... No. The Bible said the cross might be an offense to people, but you're not supposed to be. See, the problem is it's not the gospel, it's not the truth that offends people, it's us. We dump the whole shaker on them, or we're just mixed with too much junk, all right? But I have to ask, am I creating a thirst in others? So what we need to do is get out of the salt shaker and into the world, right? All right. Salt is no good unless it's shook, Pam. It's got to be shook up. All right? So when you're shook up in life, is there saltiness coming out that will have an effect, an impact on others? Okay, I got to finish this message, don't I? All right? Amen? I'll just keep going then if you don't amen me on that. Okay? We're not only salt in a decaying world, we're light in a world of darkness. Light in a world of darkness. It says you are, once again, you are the light of the world. It's no wonder the world doesn't know where it's going. And boy, we're not going anywhere good, are we? And in our country and all the stuff, I mean, I'm telling you, I can only take so much of the news and the media and all that. It's just too, ugh. I mean, oh, I know we're ridiculously ignorant, but I'm even surprised day by day, some of the stuff. We are in a world, that, and no wonder, you can't find your way in the darkness, and the world is in darkness. And Jesus is the light. And so it's the light that illuminates the way. Light also exposes sin. And light shows what is in the darkness. So that's one reason why some people don't like the light, is when the light comes on, it exposes things in their life that because of their pride, they don't want to admit it, and they don't want to change it, and they don't want to humble themselves, and so they get angry. And Jesus said that the light is coming to the world, and guess what? People loved darkness more than light. That is some people. But that's not everybody. But I want to be light. And it's not my light. It's his light shining through me. He's the light. He is the light. And we reflect his light. Now, some people only shine the light on each other. And we love to get together as church family and have our little flashlight parties, don't we? Little flashlight groups, right? Flashlight classes. And we just shine our light. Look at this. Kind of like the kids at camp. Oh, my goodness. Preteen camp and flashlights. And they need flashlights. I know they're at kids' worship. But those little guys, and it started with our group years ago, they all like to bring a little flashlight. And they're all sitting there, boop, 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 all over the ceiling, everything, and I'm like, okay, you guys play with your flashlight. How many of you that are even grown can remember doing flashlights at camp in my cabin? Come on, Cole, get your hand up there. You never brought your flashlight. Yeah, there's one right back there. Yeah. Well, he was used to hit you this year even. You got me in the eye several times. I've been trying to sleep. I'm like, okay, as long as there's nobody crying or screaming or getting hurt. But when they get too quiet sometimes, that's what, right? Light be shining in my eyes. They'd shine the lights on each other, do all kinds of things like that. And we sometimes, we have fun though, didn't we? We have a lot of fun. And after a while, it's like, I very nicely say, that's enough. I mean, that's enough, you guys. Let's turn them off and go to sleep, all right? But we are the same way. We're not supposed to just be shining our light on each other. We're to be the light of the what? The world. The light of the world. We just sometimes want to nitpick other people's light. Yeah, spend all of our time doing that. No, light of the world. Quit wasting time. We need to get out there. Where does the light need to go? Into the darkness. Okay? A guy named, I know this is a funny name, and you're going to laugh, but this was the guy's name. He was an evangelist. His name was C.T. Initials. A lot of people used to have initials for names, right? His name was C.T. Studd, and he once said this: some wish to live within the sound of the chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. What was it like? Like 1800s when he said that. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. People love their little, nice little church in the valley, whatever. And a nice little, in a church in the wildwood. What was that? What am I trying to say here? I don't know. Church in the Vale. Yeah, you remember that old song? It's a good old song. Nothing wrong with that. But we like our little comfortable, little nice church, a little nice place to go. Let's just go. And everything's just peaceful and happy. And that's what we want. But what he's called us to do is take the light and go out and storm the darkness. But when we do that, it's a light that attracts, not a light that's just supposed to blind. Because sometimes we just hit someone with our big spotlight, and we're just like a deer standing out there like that, And that's not what he's called us to do. No need to shine in their eyes and blind them. Jesus said, you're like a city set on the hill. You're going to be different, and they're going to notice you, and it's going to drive them nuts wanting to know what makes you tick. You don't have to add neon flashers announcing the fact that I'm some great person here. You just walk the walk, and you just follow Christ. His light will come through you. See, you don't have to rub salt in their face. You don't have to shine light down their eyeballs. Just live right, and they just have to know what is it that makes you different. And this is what the world will do. It says, whenever the world sees this, this is what they're going to do. I'm going to show you. It says, they will see your good works. So there's going to be good fruit coming out of your life. Now, you're not announcing it. They're seeing it. They're noticing it. They're saying, it's some good stuff here, right? Too often, it's us saying how good we are. It's them saying that. They're seeing it. And what's the end result of all of this? It says that not only that, they'll see them and they'll glorify God. So what are the good works that come out of our life? What are they? They are every visible manifestation of Christ living through me, living in me. That's what they are. It's not stuff of my own thinking and doing. It is Christ living through me. Manifestations in my life. How does that happen? Well, maybe when someone says something bad about you and you say something good about them in return. That's Christ-like. Huh? You know what? Sometimes people that don't know the Lord and they say something evil about you and you just do something good for them and say you're being Christ-like. I guarantee it's going to have more impact than quoting some Bible verse that they don't even understand. I mean, they need to hear the truth, right, in the scripture. I'm not saying they don't, but I'm just saying. It's the manifestation of Christ's life being lived out in you. What will be the result? God will receive glory. They'll glorify your fathers in heaven. God receives the glory, not us. We're servants. He's the Lord. We're not drawing attention to ourselves. All right, let's wrap this up because this is not what you do. This is who you are. I'm a shiner and a shaker. Woo-hee! Right? I hope you can say, I am. It's not like I do this. Now, there are things that are going to be done in and through your life, but it's not about what you do. What you do is a result of who you are, right? And who I am is found in the great I am. And boy, you know, we're singing that song. I never get tired of that song. It's just so powerful to me. Maybe different songs impact different ones of us differently. And I just got to realizing I stood up and no one had asked us to stand up. I just couldn't. And you know, it doesn't mean you're all super spiritual or anything. I just felt like I need to do that. I want you to have that freedom here. I want you to have the freedom. If you need to sit, you sit. You're just as spiritual sitting as you are standing. Amen? Yeah. But if you feel like you need to sit, sit. If you feel like you need to stand, stand. If you feel like you need to raise your hands. Whatever, okay? You just have to have freedom. We're not judging each other. We're focusing on each other. It's on the Lord. But I am because of the great I am. The great I am. This is who you are. You are light of the world. You are salt of the earth. What you do flows from who you are. So, don't overdo it. What do I mean? How can you overdo it? No, I mean don't overdo it by yourself. Don't go dump a load of salt on them. Don't just hit them with the bright beams and follow them around with the headlights on high, you know, blinding everybody. You just be real. How about that? Be real. Be salt, be light. Let his light flow through you. And don't hold back. Don't be intimidated. This is when things go tough. That's when we get the opportunity to really be salt and be light. We're going to create a thirst, and we're going to create an interest, not in us, but in the source of that light. Okay? And don't worry about the results. All he's called us to do is to be salt and to be light. And I don't have to convince. I don't have to argue people into anything. I just have to be. Right? Amen. Teresa, amen? Just be. And let God draw people. And we're all at a different place in the process.